Hi, I'm Angie Hicks, co-founder of Angie, and one thing I've learned is that you buy a house, but you make it a home. Because with every fix, update, and renovation, it becomes a little more your own. So you need all your jobs done well. For nearly 30 years, Angie has helped millions of homeowners hire skilled pros for the projects that matter, from plumbing to electrical, roof repair to deck upgrades. So leave it to the pros who will get your jobs done well.
Angie, the one you trust to find the ones you trust. Find a pro for your project at Angie.com.
CBS Eye on the World, I'm John Batchelor. To Europe, to Joseph Sternberg, member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's in London watching the European stock markets, and the Financial Times tells the story. European stocks, best day in over a year. In addition, the United Kingdom is enjoying grocery inflation that's falling for the seventh month in a row. These are little items that need to be connected to the larger item about why. I'm told this is the Financial Times, so it's London's bias. I'm told it's because of dovish remarks by governors at the Federal Reserve across the nation. Different governors. They're all speaking in some language that needs interpretation. So I welcome Joe to help me understand dovish remarks in America turn into a surge of European stocks. I believe this also involves, in some fashion, long-term interest rates. Joe, everyone's so sensitive. We'll get to that in just a moment, but I want to begin with the British media and the crisis in the Middle East, in addition to the crisis in Europe. How has the British media presented what I think of as a split screen or simultaneous war fighting? Good evening to you, Joe.
Hey, John. Well, I mean, there's certainly a lot of interest in you know, the situation here and across Europe, and I think that people are rightly appalled by what they saw Hamas terrorist fighters doing in Israel over the weekend. And at the moment, I think that there is a lot of support for Israel's right to defend itself. And, you know, I think that people do understand that this is an important story. This is not some low-level conflict bubbling along in a conflict-prone part of the world. This is a very important development that involves not just Israel and its right to exist, but also the Iranian sponsors of Hamas. And I think that it has implications for broader security, both in the Middle East and Europe. So I think that one of the things that is kind of encouraging here, a very faint glimmer of a silver lining, is that people do understand the significance of what is happening.
The Iran question is unanswered. The Hezbollah question is more in front of us. And we're told from headlines, this is fog of war, that as of yet, Hezbollah has not provoked Israel to defend itself, other than artillery exchanges, which have happened before. The reason I mention this is because there's talk, including out of Moscow, they're worried about escalation to a wider war. Do you hear that in the BBC too? A much bigger war, not just Israel and Iran, but drawing in the powers as well.
No, I think there definitely is a concern that things could start spiraling from where they are now. And, you know, that, you know, certainly as a function of the severity of Hamas's attack over the weekend, which is going to require a robust response from Israel. But I think that your thoughts need to turn to the issue then of how you can deter that kind of escalation instead of just sitting here worrying about it. And so, again, I think that one of the things that's encouraging is already you can see, especially in the European Union, a discussion starting about things like EU financial support for the Palestinian Authority and whether that needs to be reviewed or perhaps even scaled back or cut off. And I think that that kind of move is an example of how Europeans potentially can send a signal that they are serious about tamping down on this, discouraging any more bad actors like Hezbollah from piling in, because there would be consequences for that.
Joe is in London, and we're watching the story in the Middle East as we're watching the European economy and the American economy. Certainly major factors in any conflict ahead of us, two wars or more. So I come back to the economy because that's a pressing story in Europe and in the United States. Why? Because the word recession is back. Can you believe it, Joe? After all these months, we thought we had covered the Dracula coffin. We'd thrown in all the necessary dirt. We'd driven the wooden stakes. We'd sealed the coffin, and he's back.
Don't forget the garlic, John.
Yes, the garlic, too. How did it get back? I don't know, but I hear it now. So we turn to the bond market. The bond market's been plunging, selling, and the long-term interest rates have been climbing. Somehow that's translated into good news for the markets. How so, Joe? What does it mean?
Well, it's been good news today, Tuesday, for the specific reason that people now seem to believe that the pain of higher rates is going to stop soon. The question all along has been, how high would the Federal Reserve in particular have to raise interest rates to get inflation under control? And then once it had stopped raising rates, how long would it have to leave them at the higher level? A couple weeks ago, investors got what they perceived as bad news from the Fed when Chairman Jerome Powell signaled that the rates would remain at an elevated level for a lot longer than people had thought. But, you know, more recently, they've been getting dovish messages that maybe the Fed is done raising interest rates, that we won't even get another quarter point increase this year, as people had previously expected. And that apparently is enough to set off a frenzy of buying in stock markets, particularly in Europe, where people are so desperate for any good news and also still very sensitive to central bank monetary policy decisions. So I think that this boom in markets that we've seen today is evidence of that sensitivity to policy decisions, and also an example of how markets are just desperately scrambling for any good news they think they can find.
This allows us to review the columns you've written over these last months, identifying the paradoxes in the numbers we're getting. Perhaps it's the pandemic. Perhaps it's we're overstudying these numbers. But the Atlanta Fed, which keeps a moving number of GDP growth, says the third quarter estimate right now is 4.9, which is dreamy high. It's been higher, but it's dreamy high. And in addition, we had that jobs number last week that shocked the street. Oh, there it goes again. The Fed is watching for jobs to fall, I thought. They're not falling. They're, in fact, going in the opposite direction. The economy's growing through the Fed rate. Does that give the Fed a confidence that its work is done as well? Because they've talked about jobs being a determinative. They want people to lose their jobs in order to avoid the recession. I think I've got it right.
Yes, this is going to be a real problem that we're going to have, this issue of whether the Fed is going to be able to take yes for an answer if we do end up in the soft landing scenario that they said they wanted, which would be bringing inflation under control without having to trigger a deep recession. Because that does seem to be the direction that the economy is headed at the moment. Fingers crossed, there are still a lot of things that could go wrong with that story. But to the extent that you can achieve robust economic growth in labor markets without inflation continuing to run out of control, that should actually be a sign that the Fed has succeeded. I think that there is concern about whether they would be able to take that yes for an answer, or whether they might continue trying to push on the brakes for too long. This is not an argument for them to relax right now, because I think inflation is still well above their target. So I think some of this conversation feels a little premature, but it is an issue that I think is going to become more prominent moving forward.
Oh, good. Then I get to accuse the Europeans of being risk takers. Isn't that a turn of affairs? Okay, risk takers, Europe, because they're satisfied that something is going right. Now, I mentioned this is a global economy now. I mentioned that in China, there continues to be bad news. Right now, Country Garden, which I think was second only to Evergrande for developing property, has missed payments and is announcing that it will miss more payments and, in effect, has failed. Does that come home to Europe? Does that come home to the U.S., the tumbling down of the Chinese miracle?
Well, it does and it doesn't. There's no particular reason why financial troubles at the property developers should have a big impact on foreign investors, because foreign investors do own some of this debt, but not huge quantities of it, and they will have understood that that was a risky investment. And otherwise, there aren't huge ties between China's financial system and the rest of the world. I think that people are concerned that a slowdown in China's property market or any kind of financial trouble there might impact the broader Chinese economy and the growth story there, and that would potentially be bad for some Western businesses. But the wrinkle on this is that all of this bad news, again, this week has come to be perceived as good news in some parts of Europe because they expect that the news will get so bad that it will push Beijing into doing an economic stimulus that they're hoping would be really good for markets in Europe or elsewhere. Now, exactly how that works is a bit of a mystery to me. But again, people are grasping at any good news that they think that they can find. And if they can't find any, they will conjure some up.
The wars, that simultaneous wars, the risk of larger wars. The news in your paper, The Wall Street Journal, is that this is licensed to reignite the industrial base to produce defense items that have been absent from the federal budgeting for years. I'm just following the general statements of the journal. That is true in Europe as well. It is true in the United Kingdom as well, which is not part of the EU, but certainly part of NATO. Is there talk of the industrial base of the United Kingdom reigniting in order to provide ammunition for the wars, Joe? Do they talk that way?
Well, I mean, that's a discussion that's been going on for the better part of a year and a half now, ever since Russia's invasion of Ukraine in February of 2022. I think that there came to be this understanding that Europe's defense production capacity had fallen well beyond what it needed to be, and there's been a lot of interest in reinvesting to build some of that out. But again, I think that what we've discovered over the past year and a half is that this is a process of years, not weeks or months. And so I think that Europe is still very far behind where it ought to be, as for that matter, as the U.S.
Joseph Sternberg is a member of the editorial board of the Wall Street Journal. He's based in London. He writes the political economics column weekly for the journal. We turn now to a most recent column in which we identify the automobile. Consider the automobile in your garage, in your lot, or that you're sitting in right now. That turns now out to be part of the culture wars. When we come back, I'm John Batchelor.
Stay tuned for more of CBS Eye on the World with John Batchelor.
Experience the freedom of finding the one at Haverty's. Right now, everything is on sale, from sofas, sectionals, bedroom furniture, and more. Come find your style and celebrate this summer at Haverty's, online or in Columbus at Polaris.
10 hours on my feet, traffic, noise, everybody needing something from me. My head is spinning. I just need the world to stop for 1 second. But then I get home, shoes off, phone out, and I open Modo Casino. Hundreds of slots, classic table games. It's my instant reset. The variety I want in the quiet I need.
Modo Casino is a social casino. Void where prohibited. No purchase necessary. Visit Modo.us for more details. Download the Modo Casino app today. Must be 21 plus.
Modo Casino. America's social casino.
Lots of places can expose you to identity theft. That's why LifeLock monitors hundreds of millions of data points a second for threats to your identity, which is way more than anyone can do on their own. If we find anything suspicious, like new loans or changes to your financial accounts, we alert you right away, all through text, phone, email, or the LifeLock app. Save up to 30% your first year. Visit LifeLock.com/iHeart. Terms apply.